Lord. Let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Thank you.
Let us pray.
O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Merciful Lord, cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that we, being instructed in the doctrine of your blessed apostle and evangelist John, may come to the light of everlasting life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He sent redemption to his people.
He has commanded his covenant forever.
Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
In the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord.
Special are all who delight in them.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work.
And his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works.
In giving them the inheritance of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just.
All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever.
To be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding.
His praise endures forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
He sent redemption to his people.
He has commanded his covenant forever.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, the 4th chapter. Brothers, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text is the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And while they were there, they were greeted by Simeon and Anna, the old saints waiting for the consolation of Israel and for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is our text. Here we are on the third day of Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I know that for some, it's more of a feeling of, was that it? Is that all? Not everyone feels this way after Christmas, but some do. Some feel what you might call a post-Christmas letdown. The excitement has worn off. The company, if there was any, is gone. What's left is a pile of cardboard, a mess of dishes, a tree dropping needles, gifts to be returned, and a mix of emotions. You wake up on the day after Christmas, or the day after that, and it's back to life as we know it. The first thing is a trip to the town dump to unload all that cardboard and packaging and wrapping paper. Or maybe you feel it a little different way this year. For you, it might be the letdown of a Christmas that wasn't, or a Christmas that wasn't like other Christmases. Wasn't really much of a Christmas at all, perhaps. Fewer presents, no company. You didn't even get to sing your favorite Christmas carol at church. I wonder, did Mary and Joseph feel that way too? After the angels had come and gone, after the shepherds left, after the excitement died away, did they sit there staring at the baby in the manger, wondering if that was it? Thinking, now what? How quickly did the glow wear off? Afterbirth is a bloody business, and babies require a lot of care. Of course, there was plenty to be done. They had to find a place to live. The circumcision had to be scheduled. And there was the law to be kept. Firstborn sons were consecrated to the Lord, and so they had to be redeemed. And mothers were required to go through a rite of purification after childbirth. A lamb was needed for the burnt offering, and a turtle dove or a pigeon for the sin offering. But of course, you know, Joseph and Mary didn't have much. I wonder if it took a bit of scrounging for Joseph even to come up with the sacrifice that was required of the poor, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And I wonder, did Simeon and Anna feel that way too? We can't help but picture them as elderly. Anna is described as a widow of 84 years of age. And to Simeon, it had been revealed that by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. How close was he to the grave? And being closer to the end of life than to the beginning, did these two saints look back over their long years and think, is that all? Did they ever question why the Lord kept them waiting for so long? And what exactly were they waiting for? What would be the consolation of Israel? What would be the redemption of Jerusalem? Did they know that it would be a child? And so we ask, was that it? Is that all? And the answer is, of course not. There is more. There is always more with God where he is concerned. There is always more with him, even for those who are weary and worn out with waiting. The joy of Christmas, no matter how dim it may have seemed this year, that joy is only the beginning of greater joy still to come. The mystery and wonder of the shepherds is the first of many things that Mary would treasure up and ponder in her heart. And for those like Simeon and Anna, with years and years under their feet, there's far more of life still ahead. There's everlasting life. Some things, you know, will last forever. And the post-Christmas letdown isn't one of them. You see, God gave Jesus to be our consolation, and he gave Jesus to be our redemption. And even on the Sunday after Christmas, he comes to us still to console us and to give us that redemption. And we know all of this because the mystery of the manger continues in our reading today. The Lord comes to his temple. The baby of Bethlehem makes his first appearance as the infant priest. The place where lambs are brought for sacrifice welcomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just as Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day in keeping with the law of Moses, so at 40 days old, he is brought to the temple to be redeemed as the firstborn. As it says in the Old Testament, the one who opens the womb is holy to the Lord. Every firstborn throughout the entire history of Israel was pointing ahead to this firstborn, to God's own Son. And the one who is the Redeemer of the world is brought to the temple that day, and he is redeemed by the blood of two turtle doves. Christ came to fulfill the entire law. And even the purification of Mary declares that there is more to come. Why in the world would Mary need to be purified? She had just given birth to the sinless Son of God. There is no purer birth than that one. But still, she comes to the temple for her purification, like every Israelite mother. And even in this, we see Christ's work of redemption. Because there is Christ, and there is his mother, doing what they need not do, but what he came to do for others. There he is, our substitute, the sin bearer, the sacrifice that God has given. And though he is sinless, yet for our sakes he became sin. Though his mother does not need to be purified, yet for the sake of the sinners that Christ came to redeem, she goes through the purification. He is the sinner in the place of sinful humanity. And he is joined to us, not simply by taking on our flesh and blood, but he is joined to us also by taking on himself the burden of the law. And so there is more for us on this Sunday after Christmas. There is Jesus as he comes, the one born to fulfill the law, the one born to take away the sin of the world, the one who came to be the sacrifice for you and for me. And Simeon and Anna find more in Jesus too. You know, Simeon, I said, is likely an old man. We're given the impression that he is very near to death. He is like the entire Old Testament embodied in one man. For long years, he has been waiting. Long years, he has been watching. And then finally, at last, Mary and Joseph come to the temple with their little son. Simeon sees the one for whom he's been waiting. He gathers the little child into his old, tired arms. He lifts up his eyes to heaven, and he sings, "Now, Lord, you dismiss your servant in peace, as you have promised. For my eyes have seen the salvation you prepared before the face of all people, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." His time of service has ended. This child is the world's redeemer. And as much as Simeon may be tempted to wonder at that moment, is that all? Isn't there more? By faith, he sees that this is all that he needs. He sees in this child the fulfillment of everything for which he's been waiting, and he sees in this child the promise of more to come. He is ready to die, and because of this child, there is far more for Simeon and for Anna and for you. And you know Simeon's hymn well. It's on your lips so frequently after communion. We hold the body and blood of our Savior in, with, and under the bread and wine, and we leave singing, Lord, now you let your servant, now you dismiss your servant in peace. We may at times be tempted to think, was that it? Is that all? And yet Christ addresses himself personally to you. He says, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. The body and blood of the child born of Mary, of the one who was laid in the manger, of the man who was nailed to a cross, raised from the dead, and glorified at the right hand of God, that body is put into your mouth. And by faith, we believe that this is all we need. By faith, we say that we are ready to depart in peace, even ready to die. And yet, because of him, we know that there is more to come. With Jesus, we live in peace and we depart in peace. And over this whole scene with Simeon and Anna hangs the cross, the more that is to come for Jesus. Simeon tells Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Jesus comes to be the Savior, to be Lord and Christ for his people, to be the Redeemer of Israel. And he either you will rise with him or you will fall without him. There is no neutral place. And Mary feels the sting of that cross as well. She would see her son crucified. What sorrow and anguish that must have been. No parent wants to attend the death of a child. What a burden it must have been as she stood at the foot of the cross and watched. And yet even here in the temple, when he's only 40 days old, she barely knows him yet. She is reminded that he does not belong to her. But he's come to be the Savior of the world. And there are Mary and Joseph, come to redeem Jesus, to buy him back with two tiny turtle doves, almost as if Mary is pleading, may we have him back just for a little while. Imagine that. The Redeemer of the world, whose blood cleanses us from our sins, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world, is himself redeemed by the blood of two birds. What humility. The Lord of all becomes the servant of all. And in this servant, his servants Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna, and you and I rejoice. There is a temptation to want Christmas to be cute and glorious and glittery, to have just the manger and the swaddled newborn and the adoring shepherds and the bright angels. But today, on the third day of Christmas, we are reminded very quickly that the work of redemption is always a bloody work. On the 40th day after he was born, he was redeemed by blood in the temple. He takes our place under the law, and by his blood, he frees us from slavery to sin, to death, and to the power of the law. And this is the reality that Christmas joy gives way to as we look ahead to the new year. All the things that we may have anticipated about Christmas, they may be tucked away. The wrapping paper may be gone. The presents are opened. The lights may grow dim. The tree will dry out, at least the real ones. We will go back to the realities of our vocations and the ambiguities and the uncertainties and the griefs and the sins. We will feel the burden of our sins and of the sins of others. But like Mary and Joseph, like Simeon and Anna, we have, by the grace of God, been given to embrace the child of Bethlehem in his word and in his holy sacrament. And we have been embraced by him in the open, empty, and receiving arms of faith. We too are prepared to depart in peace. And we are prepared for far more than that. Because Christmas is not over. It has not ended. But the joy of Christmas has only barely begun, and there is far more ahead for us in this child born of Mary. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. For the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Eternal Lord God, in the fullness of time you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us and give us the adoption as your sons and heirs. Hear us, Father, as we call to you in his name. Give us grace to rejoice in Christ's blessed incarnation and grant us a glad new year. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood on earth is named, bless the families of all Christians with your promises. Give parents diligence and delight in their work and grant your favor on all children that they may grow in strength and wisdom. Bless all widows, orphans, and broken families also with your mercy, and give them joy in the redemption you have won for us in Christ. Look with mercy on all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Rachel Patterson, Abby McDermott, Laura Jackson, Nika Sharon, and Joelle Brotmarkle. Lord, in your mercy. O worthy judge, from you proceeds the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Give wisdom to those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they may serve faithfully in their tasks according to your good pleasure, for the benefit of our people. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, receive our prayers for those who suffer from loneliness. Comfort them with the sure and certain knowledge that they will never be forsaken by you. Give them family and friends within the household of faith with whom they can find loving companionship. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, help the sick and suffering, especially Karen Hamill and Andrea Wetmore, who are homebound, and those who desire our prayers, Emily Murphy, Marilyn Arsenault, Diane Albert, Jared Blaze, Melanie Kramer, Kay Emmerich, Karina Thaw, Rob Gogan, Jackie Gordon, Phyllis Hoffman, and Alethea Johnson. Surround them with your love in Christ, and according to your gracious will, heal them. Comfort all those who mourn, especially the Tessier family, as they mourn the death of George's mother, Jean, and fill their hearts with a certain hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy.
Father of lasting peace, show your mercy to those who receive the Lord's Supper this day, that they would behold their salvation in the very body and blood of Christ given for them, and with Saint Simeon be well prepared to depart in peace according to your word. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. body of our Lord Jesus Christ given in his death for you. May you keep the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ given in his death for you.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.